The first video we've done in a month. All right. So with your Bibles this morning, turn to Galatians in chapter 4. And I want to preface this morning by saying this. What we're going to teach, we're going to teach on a subject, the adoption of sons. All right. Now I know there's been some men that come here and teach this who've done some bad things with it. So I want to preface this by saying we want to stay to the Scripture and we want to show you the spiritual blessings that you have in Christ because of what He did for you on the cross. And we want you to understand that. And I think I can help you because I know that this has helped me and I think it continues to help me the more I study it, the more I read it. And so this likely will not be the one and only teaching that we do from Galatians chapter 4. Okay? But let us pray, then we'll go to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll do our reading and our teaching from there today. So let us pray first. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for another day of your grace, another day of your long-suffering. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to come this morning and fellowship again over thy word. And we just ask now that you help us, Lord, to illuminate the passages as we study with a true heart and a true mind, that we may understand thy word more clearly. In the name that's above every name, we give you all the praise, all the thanks, all the honor, and all the glory. And everyone said, amen. All right. So look here in Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Okay? That Abba, Father, you find it three times in the Scripture. Okay? And what I want to illustrate to you today is your separation from what was, in time past, bondage. Okay? So, a lot of people cannot see that God has changed something. Let me say this, that what God has changed is not because He got in the middle of the road and something didn't work out and He said, boy, I need plan B. Not what happened. Not what happened at all. You see there where He said that we might receive the spirit of adoption of sons? Look at, when did that take place? Go back and look at the book of Ephesians with me real quick. Chapter 1. There's no plan B teaching. What we have when we study the Bible correctly is what God did back here, what God's doing right now, and what God is going to do ahead of time in ages to come, right? So, by the greatest event of all time and all of history, Christ going to the cross to redeem those which were under the law, the Bible says, that we might become the sons of God. Now some people teach this and they say Paul's not really talking about the law. Paul is talking about the law. Paul is using that law contract to show a contrast against what God is doing today under grace. Israel denied and rejected their sonship. They rejected it, okay? They rejected being the sons of God the way God wanted them to be the sons of God, but they will be. Over here in the ages to come, they'll be the sons of God, and you guess what they will be? They will be tutors and governors to the Gentile nations. So Paul is looking at this thing back here in time past, and what he is saying is back here, there were children. We'll put child, and I'll tell you what we'll put beside it. We'll put a minor, one that's not of age. All right? if a minor goes out and commits a crime, they treat him differently, don't they? Why? They take and look at the age, the fact that he's a child still, and he's not charged according to what an adult that did the same crime would do. You with me? All right. Right. And here's the thing. When Paul looks back here, he said there's a time appointed of the father, and then instead of a child now, you have son. And let me tell you something about the word son there. We have a limited definition for it. We just think it's a male child. That's not what Paul was talking about here. Paul was talking about an adult. Now, you will not find the word adult in your Bible, okay? But you will find the word son. And the son is a position here of being one that now is old enough as an adult to make his own decisions. But before that came, what were they under? They were under tutors, and they were under governors. All right? So you got to get some definitions to understand the passage. The tutor was one, as we have a limited definition for that too. I'm struggling in math, so you give me a tutor. But that's not the definition of tutor here. Here is a person that in everyday life, they were in charge of that child to teach that child basic life. Also to discipline that child. Now, you and I, in this world, we did that at one point. We went to a place called school. They usually had 4 or 5 different sessions. You went from that class to that class to that class to that class. And they had control of teaching us about the things we were going to need in the future. Back then, they also had what? The ability to discipline you. I know. Okay? I know for sure they could discipline you back there. Okay? And it usually was a piece of wood flattened out like a boat oar with some holes in it. And you ran down to an office where they just put you. And you bent yourself over a table or a chair, and they began to give you some discipline, right? Back then, you didn't talk back to the teacher. Because if you did, you knew the Board of Education was coming. Okay? But so they had the ability here as tutors to teach life's principles, life's education, fundamentals, and to discipline that child. Then, in that, you had the governor. The governor was one of power, one of authority, one who enforced the laws. You know, told you to wear a mask or not. No, I'm kidding. But they enforced the law. Okay? They told the child when he could go, when he couldn't go, what he could do. Even to the point of, you're a child, you can't wear that, you can't eat that, you can't go. Now look, if you see this thing clearly, and you got God the Father up here in time past, Do you see already they had a limited access? You see that? They had limited access, a child, in connection to and communication with the Father because there was 2 layers between them, right? You see that? That's what the law represented back there. That's why you had the priest and the high priest and all that business going on back there. But what Paul is saying now, that we as sons of God, we're not under that program. Let me submit to you this morning. Listen, that system that's out there, okay, they call it church. They call it Christendom. Folks, they're operating under this. Now, God says, I'm not going to deal with you that way, but where are they at? They're over here. And let me tell you how I can tell you. When a man stands up and says, I'm your pastor, you are to wear that. You're to eat that. You're to do this, and you're to do that. You have found yourself back under tutors and governors. God says, you're a son. I'm going to deal with you as a son. I've given you the Word of God. You can make decisions for yourself. Okay? But what they do, they become the tutor and the governor of how you're going to live your life. And I've heard some ridiculous stories over the years how pastors went to houses peeking in the window to see what they're watching on TV. I know people who've gone through that, okay? And they've told me. And if it's a lie, they told it, right? So this is a tutor and governor system representing what was in time past and how God was dealing with that nation. But even though it was the nation with the laws and they had all that they had to do, we also, in time past, as children, grew up under tutors and governors, right? Someone taught us basic education, the fundamentals of life, what was going to be needed. I wish in a lot of cases I'd have listened a lot better, okay? That I'd have learned a lot more. But then there came a time where you grew up, and guess what you did? You moved out on your own. You started to make a paycheck for yourself. You didn't call mom and say, what should I wear today? Mom didn't call you and say, sweetie, at 30 years old, you need to wear a sweater, right? Sweetie, make sure you eat your broccoli tonight. It didn't happen that way, right? No, because the son, the adult, is treated differently. Now, I'm going somewhere with this because you guys, you've got to understand this, because what most people want, and I know this, as being a manager in the real world out here on a job, what most people want, they want this as a security blanket. You told me to do it, so if it's wrong, it was you, right? So most people, as much as you think they want this freedom and to be a son, they really don't. They want to be under this tutor governor because what? He tells me what to do. He instructs me. That's why when you show people the Word of God, they say, well, my preacher said. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, I can't do that on my own because the preacher does all that for me. No. That's why the Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're to do that for yourself. Okay? Someone is to show you how? Absolutely. Okay? I needed to be shown how. But once you've got the how, the work is on you. So what most people do in this thing called Christendom, they find that place to where I can put all the confidence in the world in that pastor preacher, and I'm going to go sit under that week in and week out and never experience the spiritual blessing that Jesus Christ has given you in the fact that you are now a son. You're an adult. You can make decisions for yourself. Right? It's huge that you get the understanding. I'm not dependent on an institution. By no means. I'm not dependent on an institution. All right, so you see there at the governor. I want to show you some instances of that. Look back here at the book of Exodus. Remember all those teachings that we did on walking worthy? Folks, that's what this is all about. That's what it's about, you having this knowledge, that comprehension and that application to be able to walk as a son. You ever looked at your child or heard someone say, you're a grown-up, why don't you act like it?
Yep.
That's what God's asking. You're a son, why don't you act like it? Why don't you quit acting like a child? Why don't you quit acting like a baby? That's what the Word of God is about here. You know, what people do with Paul's doctrine, they make Paul's doctrine about how we're going to get saved, stay saved, and we're going to better God's salvation. No, 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 no. You're saved by believing the gospel, trusting Christ as your Savior. From there, you're not building on anything to make it better. From there, what you're supposed to do is come out from under that system of religion, tutors and governors, be a grown-up, receive the doctrine, comprehend it, apply, and walk accordingly. Right? That takes a grown-up. That takes somebody that says, hey, I don't need the milk, man. Give me the meat, right? But most people never get there. I had a conversation with a brother in Christ, and I truly believe what he stated was true because I see it as well. Most so-called Christians are going to die somewhere between Romans and Galatians and never get to the prison epistles of Paul and have the meat of the Word. They're going to be stuck either in law or they're going to be stuck in their carnal flesh running around like a hamster on a hamster wheel and never get anywhere. See, the reason I'm teaching you this thing, the reason I taught you on that walking worthy, and the reason I'm now hammering out this stuff here, this time past program, God's not dealing with you that way. You're not going to get a blessing. Listen, this might make you cry. You're not going to get a blessing because you came to Bible study this morning. You came to Bible study because it's a blessing. You already have it, right? You're not going to get a blessing because you stopped down here and put a tire on for some guy that had a blowout. And God, you get home, God's going to have an angel playing a harp with a $100 bill in his hand. That's the thinking, the superstitious thinking that people have in religion. What do we know about our blessings? They're spiritual. and we already have them, but what we do, we forfeit our blessing so that we can go back here and live under a time past program. In bondage. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't wear this, I can't wear that. I can't eat this, I can't eat that. That's doctrines of devils and of men. Right? If I had a dollar bill for every time I heard some preacher clear his throat and start screaming the sins of the world, as if he's perfected, I'd be a rich man. And if I had a dollar for every time I heard somebody say, you're going to lose your blessing, and that's why God ain't being good to you, because you didn't come to church Wednesday night. Sunday morning Christians. Somebody today, when you go home, take your Bible and find me the word Sunday, and when God said, that's the day you've got to come and worship me. Find it. Because that's what religion has done with it. You know why? Because he gave that day to Israel on Saturday. Well, we must have one too. I'm going to show you some stuff about that. Right? Watch this. Go with me there to Exodus 16. Look at verse 29. See for the Lord, that the Lord had given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Did the law tell them what they could do there? When they could do it? You see that? That's law. Anywhere in Paul's writings where he said there's a day when you can't go out, you can't do this, you can't do that. There's no place in that. You know why? Because God's not dealing with us under that law. That Sabbath don't belong to us. It never has. It belongs to Israel under that law. And now there is no Sabbath day, and they call Sunday the Christian Sabbath. Find me that in the Bible. See, man wants to be dealt with on this term. And God is saying, grow up, snotty nose, and get over here so I can be your father and you can be my son and I can deal with you one-on-one, whereas you can cry, Abba, Father. You can have that intimacy with me. It can be one-on-one. You have access to me by faith. You keep trying to go through some other program to get to me. Stop it. I'm not dealing with you that way. Be a grown-up. Right? So watch here. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. You were restricted, were you not? There's people today say, if you work on Sunday, you're out of the will of God. But I bet they wouldn't think that way if they needed 911. Yeah. Thank God for the emergency crew. Yeah. Well, guess what, fella? They're working. That's what they do. You wouldn't hamper that doctor down there that saved your life because he got you an ER just in time to get air in you. You'd be clapping your hands. Yeah. And guess what he's doing? He's working on Sunday. Bless the hearts of those people who work on Sundays to help the elderly and help the sick and all that. But man has taken God's law and he has watered it down to the point where he thinks he can keep it. He wants to be under that program. And God is saying, let up, buttercup, I'm dealing with you a different way. Most people don't realize it, see? They're under a pastor's domain. That pastor is holding that person in bondage by preaching to them Israel's doctrine Sunday in and Sunday out. And they're never going to experience this spiritual blessing of having liberty and being free and having access to God by faith without anything. One of the great so-called great ones last Sunday preached that you cannot worship God the way God wants to worship unless you're doing it on Sunday amongst people. What is he calling worship? Flesh. You know, reading this Bible, studying this Bible, and believing this Bible, that's worship. Hearing God, obeying God through the word that he gave you, that's worship. Understanding that you're a son and you're not a child under that old program, that's worship. But you can only do it here. You know, I know what his problem is. The crowd shrunk and his paycheck ain't what it used to be. Get mad or not. All right, now look with me up here to Leviticus. Go to Leviticus. And watch what he tells them here. And I'm just going to hit 3-4 verses here just to show you what is controlled and what's not controlled. Look here. Under the law. Verse 9. 11 and 9 of Leviticus. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall you eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and any of the living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you. Catfish would be an abomination to you. Right? I like catfish. They shall be even as an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcasses as an abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination to you. They were limited in their diet, what they could eat. Of course, there's way more in that chapter. I'm just showing you that, right? Remember over there where he told them on the Sabbath day that they were to not leave their place, right? Yeah. Work 6 and rest the 7th, right? Go up with me to the book of Numbers. Remember this when I say you have liberty in the Lord. You have your freedom. You're not under tutors and governors. Remember what Paul said. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Right? So we don't say, because I have freedom, I'm going to go out there and live like the devil. No, that's bondage. That's not what he called you to do. That's not what he's asking you to do. And that's not what he's teaching you to do. But he is teaching you that you have freedom from that old system, that you're not under law. And that's the struggle that he had with the Galatians. They were law-minded. They were being pulled back over here to the circumcision of Moses. All right? So look here at Numbers and look at chapter 15. Look at verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man there that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in ward, they put him in jail, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now that'll change your weekend plans, right? What are you doing Saturday? Absolutely nothing. I'm not budging. So here it is, this man's out working on the seventh day to pick up sticks, probably to do what? Build a kite? No, he's probably going to build heat. Yeah. But he disobeyed the law. Did he just lose a blessing? He lost his life. Did he not? Yeah. Folks, you can put a spin on anything. Yeah. You can watch the movie Jaws backwards, you find people getting their arms and legs back. It's a lovely story. But if you watch it forward, you get people mutilated and they die. They lose their arms, lose their legs, right? Yeah. You can put a twist on anything. Yeah. And that's what man does with this law. They put twist on it. You go from a horrible story here where somebody disobeys God's word and they pay with their life to putting some type of spin on it to say, we're under law and that's the way we're going to work. That's silly, isn't it? It's the craziest thing that people would rather have the law than they had God's grace. They have no clue what God's doing in this dispensation of grace. All right. If we get someone to turn the heat down just a tad bit. All right. Here's what I want you to do. Now we're gonna put a little speed on this, and I don't have that much further to go. But go to 1 Timothy with me. First off, how many know that Paul taught us that we can eat whatever we want to eat? We give thanksgiving, right? It's all good, okay? But over in Leviticus, it wasn't all good, was it? In Jesus' earthly ministry, it wasn't all good. They weren't eating catfish, right? They weren't doing opposite of the law. If they did, there was judgment. Now, there was mercy also in the law. Don't get me wrong, because we see that in David, okay? But Peter, all the way up to Acts chapter 10, was still doing what? Abiding by Leviticus. He was still abiding by the law, was he not? Did he get the dispensation of grace given to him in Acts chapter 2 where they claimed the church started? Absolutely not. Okay? He was still abiding under law. But what's what Paul warns us of? Paul says it's going to go forward. He says, what's this? Timothy. Yeah, thank you for correcting me. Look at 1 and 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers. So the law, he says, it's not for us who have the righteousness of Christ. It's for the lost to do what? To show them that they're sinner and they're in need of the righteousness of Christ, right? That's what I deduce from the Scripture. Do you see the same thing? All right, now go back here to Galatians where we started real quick. Not going to take us that long this morning, I don't think, to maybe put a bow on this, but and we'll further along as we go to build on it. All right, so I'm going to read those verses again that we started with. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So even though you've got the child, which is the heir, back here, he's no different than a servant. You know, the servant had tutors and governors over him. They were told what to do and when to do it and how to do it, right? He said, so the heir, as long as he is a child, he differs nothing from this. All right? They're both in the same position. Somebody's telling them what to do and when to do it. Okay? Now watch what he says. He is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. The father decides at what point that this child is going to be dealt with as a son. You see that? The son don't tell the father.
When he gets off the big milk, he goes to the milk.
That's right. And no, you've got a story in your Bible where a son went to his father and told him he was ready, give me all that I've got, and what happened to him? It was a shipwreck, wasn't it? The father had not appointed his departure, he appointed his departure. That's what's wrong with the world today, and we're not going to go there. You got children telling mom and dad what they're going to do, instead of mom and dad saying, no, it works like this, right? That's why you've got all the disobedience and disrespect that you've gotten, and kids standing and cussing their mom and dads to their face. And I can tell you this, if I'd have cussed mine to the face, I wouldn't be here today, folks. I'm just telling you right now, I'd have got beaten so bad. I think my grandma killed me one time. But I'm telling you right now, you would take a beating back there. You didn't get by with that mess back there. You didn't try. You knew you were a child, right? And you wanted to say something ugly. You went as far away as you could, made sure she wasn't in the same vicinity, and you whispered it to yourself, and somehow she still heard it. And I'm telling you, it didn't work like that back there. But here was the thing. The father appointed the time in which that child could now be dealt with as not a child, but as a son, an adult. Right? Now watch the word of God. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now watch this. But in the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now I want you to see that word adoption right there. That's another word that we have a limited definition for the way we use it today. We use it today as someone going out. They go, they take a child in that it doesn't belong to them biologically, they take it in. Okay, that is practical. And that is an application of the word. But here's a stronger application of the word the way it's used in the Bible. It is a change in position. It's to be received into a new position from child to son. Okay, the adoption of sons. Now here's the thing, the adoption, it pertained to Israel. Look at Romans chapter 9. The adoption pertained to Israel. But we know that Israel rejected the righteousness of God for their own righteousness, right? You believe that? The scripture tells you so. So by that, they forfeited at that time to become the adult sons of God. Now in 1 John, or not 1 John, but in the Gospel of John, when he says, to as many as received him, gave him the power to become the sons of God. That word sonship there, or son, is different than what we have. That meant in general, they became the family of God, the children of God. You with me? Now also, there's an application there. Because we can say that we are the children of God, but God's not dealing with us as childlike in childhood. He's dealing with us in this over here, which is we are sons of God. Yet we're still children of God. You've got kids today, and some of us have them, they're grown up and they're on their own, right? If somebody asks you if you got children, you're going to say no? You're going to say, yeah, I do. One's 30, one's 28, right? Well, that's not a child, is it? No, but he's my child. You get what I'm saying? But I don't deal with him as a child. I didn't call Tyler up this morning and say, look, son, make sure you brush your teeth. Right? He's 28 years old. He's going to get up this morning. He's going to go about his day like he goes about it, right? He can make his own decisions now. You understand what I'm saying? So look here in Romans and see that the adoption did pertain to Israel. Look at chapter 1, or chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. You see the adoption up there. In that, Israel had the opportunity, and you see that 1 year of mercy and extension of God's long-suffering to Israel in Acts, early Acts, they still decline it, right? They reject the Holy Ghost in Stephen. What is Stephen doing? He's calling them out. He's rebuking them. He's giving them their history of failure and rejecting God and the prophets. And he said, ye always resist what? The Holy Ghost. You resist what God says. Okay? And in there we find Paul shortly after that, Damascus Road experience, Saul of Tarsus, saved. Then Paul says, hey, look, God has taken the enemy in his own craftiness, where he thought he wasn't going to have sons of God. He sprung in the dispensation of grace, the but now period, and God has now what? Sons right here operating on the premise that they're free and they have full access to God as a son and not a child. Without going through a priest, a pope, without going to a window that's covered with wire and speaking to a father dressed like a mother, we don't have to do any of that. We don't do any of that, right? We got full access to God according to Romans chapter 5. During this time of grace right here, this is how God wants and is going to deal with you. And if you prefer to be under that law, you can go ahead and give up and forfeit your spiritual blessings. You're not going to experience it. And you're going to be a miserable soul. You're never going to obtain to what you want to obtain because you can never do enough. The only person within a traditional church that can do enough is the one who pays the most. Old Brother Bob, because he gives way more than everybody else. Now that's my man right there. He's obtained the glory. Because they're always basing on what they can see, what they can touch, what they can feel. God's not dealing with us that way. He's dealing with us and He wants to deal with us as sons of God. And that's what He's required of you. And that's what He wants you to do. And that's the way He's going to deal with you. He's not running around with a tutor every time you do a little something wrong, spanking you, whipping you with the Board of Education. He's not doing all that. And that's what they want you to believe. If you don't do right, God's going to flatten your tire today. Well, let's forget about the fact they've been needing to be replaced for like 6 months. When you turn the corner, sparks fly from them. The TPMS light's been on for 3 weeks telling you something. You got air leaking out of the left rear tire. You ignored it. Boom, it blew. God did it. No, that's not what God's doing. You see what man does? He twists. It's the wisdom of man and not the wisdom of God. And that's what these institutions are built off of.
Yep.
Right? That word adoption. Look at Romans chapter 8 since you're already there. And just like Israel, we're forfeiting. We're forfeiting our sonship. We're forfeiting that free blessing that God has given us to be heirs, joint heirs, and to be with Him in communication through the Word of God. We're throwing it away. Why? Because we would rather be a sheep, a tree, a vine, some blessing over here out of Israel's program. We'd rather have that than to have what God has given to us freely. Look here, Romans chapter 8. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Where was the fear? The fear was in the tutor and the governor. The fear was in the law, man. When you messed up, you paid for it, right? You see that? He said, you have not received that. Watch what he says. Again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You see that? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8 and 15. Galatians 4 and 6. Let me show you how intimate that Abba, Father is. Go to the book of Mark. The only other place you're going to find it. Look at the book of Mark. We've talked about this before. There are so many people sitting in these churches, so-called, that they're at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. They're constantly fighting over things that are trivial, right?
Yep.
They're carnal.
Yep.
That's what the Corinthians were doing, by the way. Mm-hmm. Taking each other law before unbelievers, mm-hmm. right? Paul says, do you not know you're going to judge angels? What in the world do you have an unbeliever sitting over you as a tutor or a governor? But you know that's crazy. But these people sit in these churches and they're at each other's throat because somebody didn't shake their hand. Somebody didn't smile at them. You know why? Because they're children. They're not sons. If I come here this morning, you don't talk to me, I'm going to assume you didn't want to or you felt bad.
Yeah.
Something. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you get over it before you grow into a snob. But I ain't going to get all mad and I ain't going to get all huffy. Right? Well, they didn't talk to me. Bless God, I ain't going back. I have to. I teach. Watch here. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and watch what he does here. Look at verse 34 of 14, chapter 14. He said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. That's how intimate that Abba Father is. That word Abba, Aramaic, it means Father. It means a closeness. It means a oneness, really, to the Father. And this is what Jesus used at Abba Father. And it's used in Romans 8 and 15. It's used in Galatians 4 and 6. And let me say this, folks. Nobody before the body of Christ has ever experienced what we experience as sons of God over here. Okay? You take my word for it. Not Abraham, not David, not Isaac, not any of them back there experienced what you've got seated in heavenly places. How do I know that? Because the rendering of the Bible. He said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of the woman under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. So what did it take for it to happen? It took the cross of Christ to redeem from the law, did it not? So therefore, if there's no way they have the same position that we have today in Christ in heavenly places as sons of God and not just a child. There's no way. You've got a blessing that they did not know of. I don't know, did I show you in Ephesians 1? The blessing there of this whole thing is not plan B. And I think I took you there, but I think I failed to show you what I'm talking about here. Look at this adoption. I want you to see it again. Adoption is receiving into a new position here. This is what he's talking about. From childhood to adulthood. From being told what to do, when to do it, when to go to bed, what to eat, what to do. He's saying now you can make those decisions for yourself. And of course, we're talking about a more spiritual, grown-up thing, right? So look here in chapter 1, verse 5. When did this all take place about this adoption of the church, the body of Christ? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. How? By Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His what? His grace. So it took the cross of Christ to make this one new man, and this one new man is not under tutors and governors, it's under the headship of Jesus Christ. All right? He is the head of the church of the body, right? Which is His body, right? And we're not under tutors and governors, folks. Listen, access cracks me up. Would you come pray for so-and-so? Look, I know, and I get the gist of that, but my prayer is no more powerful than yours. You've got the same access as a son as I do. You don't have to go through me to get to God, nor any other preacher or pastor. What I have noticed is those pastors that go to those places and pray for that people, they die anyway.
That just happened last week.
Yeah. And you see that type thing. And I don't want to be cold about that fact, but here is the fact. Nobody today in a dispensation of grace has a closer connection with the Father than anybody else in here. I'm not elevated as a teacher, whatever you want to call me. You can call me whatever. I've been called a lot of things before I got here this morning. I'm not elevated. The pastor of the so-and-so church down the road is not elevated. He's not the bishop of your soul. That's Hebrew doctrine. Okay? There's not a man that has more faith, more dealings with God than you do. You've got the same access as I do. You've got the same Bible. You've got the same study principle. And you can know Him as much as you want of Him, you can have Him. Okay? It's about that son to take it and say, I want all I can get of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know Him. I want to know Him in His person. I want to know Him through the revelation of the mystery. I want to know my Savior. How much do you have of Him? They say, well, you get all of Christ when you get saved. In principle, I understand what you're saying. But in doctrine through the Word of God, there's the Word of Christ to dwell richly in you. You need that He be formed in you by the Word. Okay, that's one problem that we have in grace circles. They only see our position in the heavenlies. We're seated in Christ Jesus. Did you not read that He's in you? Did you not read where He said, be not drunk with wine, where is access, but be you filled by the Holy Ghost? Did you not read that? And then go over and grab Colossians and see what He says? He says the same thing, except He changes the wording. He says, let the Word of God dwell richly in you. Right? Singing and spiritual songs and so forth and so on. Okay, you understand? So then how's the Holy Ghost going to fill you? Through the Word. Okay? That administration through the Word. And then in closing, go with me to the book of Titus. I'm not closing in Titus, so don't get too excited. I'm going to show you something in Titus, and then we're going to go back in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to finish on those verses. Folks, when you fall back over here, just like the Galatians were doing, you're going to forfeit many things. You're going to forfeit grace. What do I mean by that? You're not going to live by grace. That's what Paul told them. You're going to fall from grace. What does that mean? The grace doctrine, the grace and spiritual application of the Word of God given to you is going to be of no benefit to you because you're going to be over here trying to do it for yourself. You're going to give up liberty. You're going to give up peace. You're going to give up joy. You're going to give up the comfort that the Scriptures bring you. You're going to give up understanding. You're going to give up doctrine. How many people do you know that go to a religious institution has any clue of doctrine? They don't know if they're coming or going. That they don't. Most of them don't know if they're saved or not. I know what they're doing before they lay down at night. Lord, lay me down to sleep. I pray to the Lord, my soul you'll keep. If I should die before I wake, you know, make sure I get there. Well, you can know, right? So you forfeit all this stuff and much more when you don't understand. But watch this. In Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. Watch this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see that? So what teaches you in that verse? Grace. All right. Now that can be expounded on. What's here in 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and after this one we're done. My word. Scout's honor.
He never was in Scout's
honor. Nope. You caught on to that, Willie. All right, so let's read. We're going to do a little bit of reading here, so stay with me. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all they could handle. That's how carnal they were. All He could do was give them the milk. He could just give them the basis of it all, right? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing word of man's wisdom. That's what you have filling up the airways out there today. But in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them which are perfect. Yet, now that perfect means mature. That's a son right there. You see what I'm saying? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory. If you don't know the mystery program, do you have wisdom? Not God's wisdom. You got your own wisdom, and that's what you have out there. You have man's wisdom in those institutions. You're not getting God's wisdom. God's wisdom was hidden until He revealed it to Paul, and Paul has given it to us to our glory. Watch what he says. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. What did Paul say? The spirit of fear back there, right? We haven't received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given us. And this sonship, this being a son of God without a tutor and a governor, is one of those things that God has freely given you. Right? And watch what he says. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now I'm going to answer that question that we've all had. Why can't my friend see this? Right here's why they can't see it. What did Titus say was going to teach you? The grace of God? What did 1 Corinthians say was going to teach you? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit? What is the Spirit of God ministering in today? He's administering in the grace of God. He's teaching you about God's grace. He's not taking you back over here under law and you become natural man, thinking you can get up to God some other way, thinking you can please God through all this business that's in religion, and the Holy Ghost has not put you there. He didn't put you back in the spirit of bondage. He didn't put you back in the spirit of fear. But he delivered you and put you over here in Christ. And because you're in Christ, you are son of God. And the Holy Ghost is trying to teach you to abide in grace, to live in grace, to walk by grace, to preach grace, to teach grace, and never deny it, because it's the free gift of God that you be that son in Christ Jesus. You see that? You see that? Now, when they stand up and say, I'm over here and I'm doing the jitterbug Jesus and all that business over here under law, you know what I know? I know the Holy Ghost is not in it. He's not administering that law. He's not administering on people like he did in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost moved up on them like he did in the Old Testament. He's working in you effectually because you believe the Word of God. He's teaching you by God's grace. Right? He searched out those things that God has prepared, and they've been revealed through Paul's writings, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And because we are sons, we can take that doctrine, comprehension, understanding, apply, and live victorious in this life. And you know what? The news don't control my life. What's going on out there don't control my life. I can turn my head to it and say, glory be, maybe we're getting just a little closer. Amen? You see what I'm saying? But what do most people want?
Yeah.
They want that. That's really what they want.
Those people there want the sight, we want the faith. That's the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other part of it, brother, wherever there's a blessing that you can see in Israel's program, I'm going to run and lay hold on it. It ain't going to work. And God says, you think whatever you want to think. And if they come into a place like this, you know what the first thing they say? Well, God ain't blessing because y'all don't have 100 people. That's what you can see. You don't understand what God's done with us through this teaching, that we're no longer children, but we're now adults. And guess what we're getting? We're getting where we don't need the governor or the tutor, fella. We've grown away from that system, right? You don't need me, right? I hope you keep coming, but you can study the Bible on your own. The fellowship is what we desire, right? The fellowship and the Word of God is what we desire. All right, we can turn off the cameras and we'll take a question if anybody has one. I thought that was going to be shorter. It ended up being right on time, 52 minutes, just like...